وقل رب زدني علما.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، this is the lesson we're taking from كتاب بلوغ المرام، كتاب النكاح، the book of marriage، حديث 826، حديث 826. وعنه أي عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال: كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمر بالباءة وينهى عن التبتل نهيا شديدا، ويقول: تزوجوا الولود الودود فإني مكاثر بكم الأنبياء يوم القيامة. تزوجوا الولود الودود فإني مكاثر بكم الأنبياء يوم القيامة. رواه أحمد وصححه ابن حبان، وله شاهد عند أبي داود والنسائي وابن حبان أيضا من حديث معقل ابن يسار عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، من حديث معقل ابن يسار. نار إلى أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه، Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to command us to marry. And sternly forbid. وينهى عن التبتل نهيا شديدا. And he strongly forbid. يرحمك الله. Celibacy. He صلى الله عليه وسلم used to command us to marry and strongly forbid celibacy. And say marry women who are beloved, means due to their good characteristics. Prolific in bearing children. Prolific in bearing children. For I shall outnumber the prophets by you on the day of resurrection. Reported by Imam Ahmad and Ibn Hibban, Gariri is Sahih. Authentic, the of said hadith has supporting narration reported by Abu Dawood and Nasai and Ibn Hibban from Ma'qil ibn Isar, Yasaris hadith radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith that he used to command al-ba'ah and marriage, and he used to forbid sallallahu alaihi wasallam at-tabattul, which is to stay away from marriage, to leave off marriage. He used to warn against, he used to forbid that نهيا شديدا. He صلى الله عليه وسلم used to forbid التبتل, which means not to get married, as a form of worship, or not getting married at all. He used to forbid it strongly. And he used to order to get married by saying, تزوجوا الولود الودود. Get married the woman that who has these two characteristics. الولود, she is the one who is الولود. She gives children. She gives birth. She is prolific in bearing children. That which have children. Al-Wadud also, she is Wadud. Who is beloved means to she is beloved due to her good characteristics. The wisdom behind marrying the woman with these two characteristics is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ For I shall outnumber the prophets by you on the day of resurrection. Meaning, the more the Muslims are a great number, the better is for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The more Muslims are a great number, and that's by them having a lot of children, and that's going to be to have the woman with these good characteristics. She is beloved to her husband. And she can't be beloved to her husband except if she has a good character. She has good characteristics. That woman, and from that good characteristics is to have children. Because the more the ummah are a great number, the stronger they are, the more they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam get a bigger reward, and is good for the religion. This is in Islam, encouragement to be more number, to have more children. The opposite is the ideology of some people. Who disencourage first the marriage, then they disencourage having children, then they disencourage women obeying her husband and being beloved to him. And the result is less number. When they don't have a children, then they end up having dogs and animals and the like, having nobody. So it's two different paths. The path of Islam, encouragement to get married. Encouragement to have more children. Encouragement the woman to obey her husband and to be beloved to him. Likewise, a man is encouraged to be good to his wife, to be nice, kind, obedient, respectful, generous, loving to his wife. Because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ The best of you is the one who is the best to his wife. You can't be the best to your wife if you treat her badly, if you disrespect her, if you harm her, if you are merciless, if you belittle her. You can't be the best to her. One time, some of the female companion complained to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam about their husbands. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked to his Sahaba and he said, "Laysa haulai khiyarukum." Those means who their wives are complaining about are not the best of you. They are not the best of you. So, in the Deen of Islam, the woman is encouraged to be beloved to her husband, to treat her husband with good, to obey him, to listen to him. And also is command, the man is command to be good to his wife. So each one to be good to the other. Allah said, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Treat, O man, your wives with good. وَلَهُنَّ بِمِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Likewise, upon the woman to treat their husband with good. So each one is commanded to treat the other one with good. This is a proof that only the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands only that which is good and forbids that which is bad. Hadith 827 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: تنكح المرأة لأربع، لمالها ولحسبها ولجمالها ولدينها، فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يدك. متفق عليه مع بقية السبعة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said: A woman is married for four qualities: for her wealth, her family status, her beauty, and her religion. So get the religious one and prosper. Agree upon with the rest of As-Sab'a. In this hadith, the Messenger Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned about the nature of man. And that man marry a woman for one of four reasons. Either because of her wealth, she is wealthy, she has money, or her family members, her father and the like. So because of wealth, she has a big house, she has good saving, because of her money. And also she is married because of her hasabiha, her family status. She's the daughter of a king or a leader or a scholar or so and so, someone who has status in the society, her lineage from good people, very beloved people among society. So someone married a woman because of her status, her family status. Because her father is that great scholar. ولجمالها, and because of her beauty, she is very beautiful. Some man marry woman because of that. Not for wealth, not for lineage, just a look, she is beautiful. Also, she is married. Some man, they married the woman because of her religious. Because of she is religious, because she is believing, because she is good with regard to her religion, her worship, her creed. He, alayhi salatu wasalam, command to marry the religious one. If you get a woman with all these characteristics, she's the best. She's with sound creed and good worship, has good character. Okay, also she's beautiful. She has a wealth or her family. Or she has from good family is good. If you get all four, that's the best. But if not, you can have only one, then let it be the religious one. Fadfar bidhati deen. Because if she is religious, she is going to have good character. She is going to have mada, good treatment, good dealings, obedient to her husband, with good, helping him with the good. And that's the real beauty. The real beauty is not the physical appearance. Yes, there is handsomeness, there is beautifulness in the physical appearance, but the true handsomeness is the character, is the manner, is the sound creed, is the correct ibadah. That's really the real and the true beauty. Therefore, you may find someone, mashallah, she's beautiful, he's very handsome, but because of a bad character, this person seemed to you very ugly. You don't even deal with him. You don't want to be around him. Yes, even though he's healthy, he's wealthy, he's from good family, he has mother, he's physically look good, very handsome, but because he is corrupted, he has a bad manner, he oppresses people, bad language, bad action. All this, his physical appearance will mean to you nothing. On the other hand, you may find someone who you may consider physically not from the most handsome ones, but because he has a good character, he has a good manner, he's very kind, he's very generous, very helping, supportive, modesty, good person, he seems to you very handsome. So the religion, if somebody is upon religion, she will have good manner. She will have mada, good conduct. Should be modest, should be obedient, should be active, should be helping. So fadfar bidati deen. Fadfar bidati deen. Taribat yadak. To prosper and to win, marry the one upon a religion. Again, that doesn't mean to ignore. If after she have a religion, she's religious, it doesn't mean you ignore. If you can get the other part, especially the beauty. One of the Sahaba informed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he engaged a woman. He said, have you seen her? He said, no. He said, look at her. Unzur ilayha. Look at her. See her. Before he married her. So he that is something important. And it's allowed a man to look at the woman if he intend and he is expecting to be accepted, that he look at her. Even if he hears so much good about her character, about her manner, about her deen, aqidah, ibadah, still he needs to look at her. It's not a mandatory, but it is good. وعنه أي عن أنس رضي الله عنه عن أبي هريرة وعنه يعني أبي هريرة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا رفأ إنسانا إذا تزوج قال بارك الله لك وبارك عليك وجمع بينكما في خير رواه أحمد والأربعة وصححه الترمذي وابن خزيمة وابن حبان نارير أبو هريرة May Allah be pleased with him. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam congratulated a man on his marriage, he would say, Allah bless for you, means your spouse. Grant you blessing and join you together in goodness. Barakallahu lak. Allah bless for you. Allah bless for you, means your spouse. Wa baraka alayka, guarantee you blessing. Guarantee you blessing. وجمع بينكما في خير and join you together in goodness. And join you together in goodness. Reported by Ahmed and Al-Arba, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban, Gariri Sahih. This hadith is authentic. Messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, when he congratulates someone on his marriage, he used to say these beautiful words to him, dua. بارك الله لك. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put blessings for you, your wife. So she become a blessed woman. وبارك عليك. Also Allah guarantee you blessings to be mada, blessing to her. Each one to be a blessing for the other. Not only one person. And the blessing is small things is more, become more. Small water become more. Small amount of wealth is so useful. So it becomes very valuable. وَجَمَعَ بَيْنَكُمَا فِي خَيْرٍ And Allah join you together in goodness. Marriage started with this beautiful dua is good. رواه أحمد والأربعة. وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال So that's how Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to congratulate the man on his marriage. Some people today, they're clapping, they're singing, they're dancing. They don't say, or they say in other things. And instead of saying Barakallahu laka wa baraka alayka wa jama'a baynakum fi khair. Or they have their own other warnings. Yes, they can have other warnings as long as it's good. But the dua of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best because it is revelation. It's a revelation. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah who taught the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Barakallahu laka wa baraka alayka wa jama'a baynakuma fi khair. وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال علمنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم التشهد في الحاجة إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ويقرأ ثلاث آيات رواه أحمد والأربعة وحسنه الترمذي والحاكم ناري عبد الله بن مسعود may Allah be pleased with him. Allah His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us at tashahud in case of some need. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us at tashahud, the testimony in case of some need. When there is a need, whether it is a marriage ceremony, there is a Friday lecture, there is other purpose to gather, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his sahaba to start with these beautiful words, which is in alhamdulillah, praise and thanks is due to Allah. Nahmaduhu, whom we praise and we thank. Alhamdu huwa jam'u bayna al-amrayn. Al-thana'u wa shukr. So alhamdu is al-thana'u wa shukr. Praise and thanks. Wa nasta'inuhu, whom we ask help and forgiveness. Wa nastaghfiruhu, we seek refuge in Allah. We nastaghfiruhu and forgiveness. Whom we nasta'inuhu, we ask help. Wa nastaghfiruhu and we ask forgiveness. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina, we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls. The soul has an evil, wal 'iyadu billah. Some people, they may be oppressive. Their soul leaning into oppressed people. Some other is greedy. Some other is so and so. So the soul half an evil. وَمَا وُقِيَ شَرَّ نَفْسِي فَقَدْ أَفْلَحْ. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our soul. Some people, they are arrogant, they are stubborn. Some people, they have bad language. Some people, they have so much desire on wealth in a way it leads them to steal, to deceive, to deny, to cheat. One of the classmates used to tell me that his brother was 4 or 5 years old and he was a thief, and he doesn't know where he learned from that. The family don't know. This young boy, very expert in stealing. So, wal-iyadu billah, so some people, they have these characteristics. Very young age. So the one who has needs to fix his problem, to be aware of it, to know his deficiency, to know his deficiency. If he get mad, he doesn't understand anything, he's just ready to kill, to fight. He has to know his deficiency and avoid what leads to do that. He has a deficiency in so and so, to be careful. من يهده الله فلا مضل له فلا مضل له He whom Allah guides has no one who can lead him astray. He whom Allah guides has no one who can lead him astray. The wife of Pharaoh was a believing woman. She was a believing woman because Allah guided her. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ And he Allah leads astray has no one to guide him. And whom he Allah leads astray has no one to guide him. The wife of Prophet Nuh and the wife of Prophet Lut and the children and the son of Prophet Nuh and the father of Prophet Ibrahim and the uncle Abu Lahab and Abu Talib of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of them were disbelievers. Even their own the prophets who were from either their father or their husband or their son couldn't guide them. Because وَمَا يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ And whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads him astray, no one can guide him. No one can guide him. Allah al-Kareem subhanahu wa ta'ala calls someone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides someone. Allah calls other one to go astray for a wisdom. Allah al-Hakim. The one who deserves to be guided because he desires the guidance. He has good heart, he has good intention. He wants his good. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَ فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ He wants the admonition, he wants to be good. He loves the good, he likes it, he wants it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him. Whoever doesn't desire the good, rather desire the evil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ lead that one astray. يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ Allah guides by the Quran the one who follow the safe path. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ This is the testament, this is the shahada. I testify that there is nothing deserving of worship except to Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is his slave and messenger. And Muhammad is his worshipper, his servant, and a messenger. وَيَقْرَأُ ثَلَاثَ آيَاتٍ And he, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he then recites three verses. Three ayat, three verses. Ayah in Surah Al Imran. Ayah at the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, and ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab. In each ayah, Allah commands to have taqwa. To have taqwa, to fear of Him, to obey Him. Even though it's a marriage time, it's a marriage ceremony, it's a happy day for the man, for the woman, for the family, for everyone who attain. That's why they congratulate on one another. but still, to fear Allah, remember Allah, remember Akhirah, prepare for Akhirah is being reminded. Some people, they say, the day of marriage, don't mention anything about Akhirah, anything about just to mention easy things. That's not right. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite this ayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands to have taqwa. Last hadith in this class, inshallah, in this lesson, hadith 830, وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا خطب أحدكم المرأة فإن استطاع أن ينظر منها إلى ما يدعوه إلى نكاحها فليفعل رواه أحمد وأبو داود ورجال ثقات وصححه الحاكم وله شاهد عند الترمذي والنسائي عن المغيرة وعند ابن ماجه وابن حبان من حديث محمد بن مسلمة ولمسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لرجل تزوج امرأة أنظرت إليها؟ قال لا. قال اذهب فانظر إليها. ناري جابر بن عبد الله الله his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said when one of you proposes means marriage to a woman, if he is able to look at what will induce him, what will induce him to marry her, he should do so. إذا خطب أحدكم المرأة, if one of you engage a woman, فإن استطاع أن ينظر منها إلى ما يدعوه إلى نكاحها, if he is able to look at what will induce him and call him to marry her, he should do so. Sometimes this woman, your people, they tell you good about her and you want to marry her, but by the time you see, your desire may be more stronger. So in this hadith here, عليه الصلاة والسلام, advice, whoever is able to look at the woman he interested in marrying her, to look at her. Even if she doesn't know that, even if she's not aware of. ولمسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, Muslim reported from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked a man who had intended to marry a woman, have you looked at her? He replied, no. He said, go and look at her. That was Jabir رضي الله عنه, the narrator of the previous hadith. Jabir رضي الله عنه, he wanted to marry a woman and he didn't look at her. He didn't know how she looked like. He didn't know how she looked like, because his biggest concern was her religion. And as long as she has good religion, she has good character, he knows he will treat her, she will treat him well. But at the same time, it's good that she is handsome, so she's beautiful. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, commanded him to look at her. And that's Amr Istihbab, it's recommended, it's not a mandatory. Well, if he doesn't look, he is sinful, no. It's recommended. قَالَ اِذْهَبْ فَانْظُرُ إِلَيْهَا. He said, go and look at her. Jabir رضي الله عنه, his father passed away. He was from the Shuhada in the battle of Uhud. And when he married a woman who was mad. She was not Bikr. She was married before. So it was not the first time she getting married. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Sahabi Jabir informed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the woman he married, she is not young, she married before, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Halla bikran tula'ibuka wa tula'ibuha. And he wished for him, if he would have married a young one. He mentioned the reason, which is that his father passed away. He left behind Doris, the sisters of Jabir, and he didn't want to bring a woman who is at their age or younger than them. So in order she to take care of his sisters and to be a mother for them, someone older than them, more experienced, he married. So he preferred his desire and his wishes over their need. There he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua for him because this Sahabi Jabir, he care about his sisters. Instead of marrying a young lady who never married, she does her experience. He married instead someone who already married. So she can take care of his sisters. رضي الله تعالى عنه وارضا. This is a proof to take care of your sisters. Take care of your sisters in their well-being, financially, getting them married for the right man, having in the good environment. You even when you marry her brother, their brother, considering who you marry, will she get along with your sisters? And if this is the case, how about your mother? Do you marry a woman you know she will fight your mother? She will fight your father? She will disrespect them? La. You care about who you're dealing with. How she gonna treat your guests? She will tell you never bring a guest to the house. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. So you have to cook the food for the guests and the woman if she's there. Busy with the phone. لا. So you have to consider all these things. The woman you're going to marry, how she is going to treat the people around you. Your parents, your sisters, and the like, your children. Not only you worry about yourself. Subhanallah, as happened with some people, wal-iyadu billah, they commit from the major sin, wal-iyadu billah, very bad sin. That even, wal-iyadu billah, they move their mother, wal-iyadu billah, and they mistreat their mother because of their wives. A'udhu billah, wal-iyadu billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. A woman called me one time crying. And she told me that her husband, her son, kick her out. وَالْعِيَابِ بِاللَّهِ أَعُوذِ بِاللَّهِ Kick her out because of his wife. Subhanallah. Astaghfirullah. She was new to the country. She doesn't know the environment. He closed the gate on her. Leave. أَعُوذِ بِاللَّهِ Why? Because of his wife. How that one is going to succeed? A'udhu billah. This is some of the human. A'udhu billah min shururi anfusina min sayyiati a'malina. Yes, a man is upon him to provide for his wife a house, also to provide for his mother a house. It's on his responsibility. If the woman says, I'm not living with your mother, I'm not living with your father, she has right. She's not encouraged, but if she chooses that, she says, no, I'm not living with your father, with your mother, no. He cannot force her to live with them because she has right to have a private life, to have a privacy with her husband. So she has right. The people of knowledge mentioned that. It is on him to provide for his parents a suitable place, and for his wife a suitable place. Not to bring them all together and they don't get along. Sometimes, especially women, may not get along. Your wife and your mother may not get along. Keep on fighting every morning, every evening. You may come to the house, they already box one another. وَالْعِيَادِ بِاللَّهِ وَالْعِيَادِ اللَّهِ In this case, you don't put them together. Each one has right to have her own life. Our own life. And don't oppress one another because of the other one. Don't team up with one against the other. Don't put them in a place of contradiction. No, they don't contradict. إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَلِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا فَأَعْطِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقًّا Your wife has right on you. Yourself has right on you. Your soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the greatest right. Give everyone to his right. So your parent has right, your wife has right. Let everyone get his right. Don't let someone take over the other one. your marriage is being controlled by your mother. Whatever she says about your wife, you're obeying her. So your wife have no word. Why? Because you're being programmed by your mother. The day she tells you leave her, you're leaving. La. Ma yajuz, ma yasluh. Your mother has full respect, listen to her, obey her, but not in the expense of oppressing your wife. Also, the opposite is true. Everyone has her own business, her own rights. Naam, be fair for them. Respect, especially the parents. But don't let them wrong your wife because she's religious, she's Salafiyah. They don't like her because the father or the mother is Sufi. Al-Bidah. Now you treat your wife badly. Or your parents, wal-iyadu billah, might not be even Muslims. They are not Muslims. The son become Muslim. He married a Muslima. His mother doesn't like his wife because of her faith. And now you find this man team him up with his mother. Against his wife, a believing woman. La. Your wife, your mother is your mother, regardless of her faith. Be good to her. Be nice to her. Especially you call her to Islam. Naam, be generous, be kind. But don't let oppress your wife and put problem between you and her. Or the opposite. The wife may be a Christian, but you marry her with the conditions. Even though Sheikh Al-Albani doesn't see to marry a Christian or a Jewish woman in the Western country. He said, don't marry. Why? He said, because there the women ask after Allah, they have the upper hand to cover the children and treat you. She is there. In this case, he said, the wisdom of legislating a man marrying a Christian or a Jewish woman is when she is in a Muslim state. And he's upon Tawheed, he's upon Islam. And his wife, she lives in the Muslim system, Muslim country. If her husband is good Muslim, that leads her to become Muslim. Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, faqih al-Ummah. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعليه وصحبه أجمعين. If there is any correction, any benefit, barakallahu fiqh.